We're studying together John Bunyan's classic text, The Holy War. And we have been looking at the siege, if you may call it that, that is truly on here at this particular point in our study. Satan, Diabolus, he is called in this allegory. This is a beautiful, beautiful allegory. In this allegory of the siege of Mansoul, a town called Mansoul. And of course it is allegorical. Each of these names represent things, realities. Diabolus being the name given for the devil. Mansoul is that, just that. It is the soul of man. And it is now being assaulted by Satan, by Diabolus from without, after Emmanuel has forsaken the town. He's forsaken the town. Emmanuel has left the town because of her sin and disobedience to his laws. And now they are under siege from the Diabolians surrounding the city of Mansoul and surrounding as well as inside. But we take up at that place where the reading says, starting today, where the reading says, now having entrenched himself, he did cast up four mounts against the town. The first he called Mount Diabolus, putting his own name thereon, the more to affright the town of Mansoul. The other three he called thus, Mount Alecto, Mount Megara, and Mount Tisiphon. For these are the names of the dreadful furies of hell. And thus he began to play his game with man's soul, and to serve it as doth the lion his prey, even to make it fall before his terror. But as I said, the captains and the soldiers resisted so stoutly and did do such execution with their stones that they made him, though against stomach, to retreat. Wherefore, Mansoul began to take courage. Now, the stones that they're casting, and we have that beautiful woodcut there that you can see where the artist depicted these stones being put in that sling and fired out over the city walls into the camp of Diabolus. These stones, now what did we say these stones are? What is that representation? What's the allegorical figuration there? The stones represented the what? The promises of God, right? Promises of God. So man's soul under attack from Diabolus starts hurling out these stones, the promises of God. And when we find ourselves under satanic assault, what defense do we have? We have none but this, but the Word of God. We have the promises of God that we send out, as it were, in our defense. Bunyan says, now upon Mount Diabolus, so he set up these four. Diabolus set up these four mounts around the town to assault the town with. Each of them he gave a name. So Bunyan goes on and says, now upon Mount Diabolus, which was raised on the north side of the town, there did the tyrant set up his standard, and a fearful thing it was to behold, for he had wrought in it by devilish art, after the manner of a scutcheon, a flaming flame, fearful to behold, and the picture of man's soul burning in it. Now that had to be a frightening, absolutely fearful sight. This was the picture that was on his banner, his standard, his scutcheon. He had Mount Diabolus, which he named after himself, from which he would attack man's soul, and on it he had this devilish art, Bunyan calls it, devilish art, this flaming flame, fearful to behold, and the picture of man's soul burning in it. When Diabolus had thus done it, that is, erected this mount and this flag, he commanded that his drummer should every night approach the walls of the town of Mansoul and so to beat a parley. The command was to do it at nights, for in the daytime they annoyed him with their slings. For the tyrant said that he had a mind to parley with the now trembling town of Mansoul, and he commanded that the drums should beat every night, that through weariness they might at last, if possible, at the very first they were unwilling yet, but if they might later, if possible, be forced to do it. Now, to me, what's significant in that paragraph, it's every night, isn't it? Night, you see, he says every night, and then he says, do it at nights, and then later, he says, every night, beat every night. It's always at night that these assaults will come from Mount Diabolus. And don't we find it so in our own experience? Or the nighttime. That's when it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, in the daytime, we can somehow manage a little better. And certainly, Bunyan says, in the daytime, they were able to see to sling these stones. But when the night comes, Satan always seeks to do us harm in the night. There's something about the darkness that just suits his function. He is, after all, the prince of darkness. So this drummer did as commanded. He arose and he did beat his drum. But when his drum did go, if one looked toward the town of Mansoul, behold, darkness and sorrow, and the light was darkened in the heaven thereof. No noise was ever heard upon earth more terrible, except the voice of Shaddai when he speaketh. But how did the man's soul tremble? It now looked for nothing but forthwith to be swallowed up. Poor town of man's soul is trembling because of the noise of Satan's attack. Murder made a comment. He said, we must not parley with the tempter or hold any correspondence with him. A few words with him ruined us all in our first parents. A few words ruined us all parleying with Diabolus, the devil. So, he's beating the drum and trying to get man's soul to come out and hold a parley. Bunyan says, when this drummer had beaten for a parley, he made this speech to man's soul. Now here's what he's going to say. My master has bid me tell you that if you will willingly submit, you shall have the good of the earth. But if you shall be stubborn, he is resolved to take you by force. But by that the fugitive had done beating his drum, the people of man's soul had betaken themselves to the captains that were in the castle, so that there was none to regard nor to give this drummer an answer. So he proceeded no further that night, but returned again to his master to the camp. When Diabolus saw that by drumming he could not work out man's soul to his will, the next night he sendeth his drummer without his drum. still to let the townsmen know that he had a mind to parley with them. Mason had a note that was worthy. Mason said, "Let us remember that parleying with the tempter was the primary cause of the fall of man. Oh, that we may avoid the least appearance of sin." Mason is bringing out the fact that to entertain sin in any way, even to the slightest degree, for us as Christians, is to parley, is to hold a parley with Satan. And he warns against it. "But when all came to all," Bunyan says, "but when all came to all, his parley was turned into a summons to the town to deliver up themselves. But they gave neither heed nor hearing, for they remembered what at first it cost them to hear him a few words." There is a note in our particular edition of Holy War that we are using on the previous page concerning this assault. And I put it in your bulletin, I think. I titled this "Another Assault." There's a note by the expositor on this matter, and he says, "This assault of hell was designed to carry all before it and to make a final end. And yet it failed. It failed for lack of the expected actions from within." You remember, there were Diabolians still hid in the city, in the walls and caves, and hid out. And Diabolus had thought that when he attacked the city from without, those enemy forces from within would join with him, and they together would be able to take the town. Well, you remember what happened. The town got wind of the plot, and Mr. Prowell overheard the conversations and warned the city. And so the city had done what it could do to round up all these Diabolians and destroy them. So when Satan came with his attack, he didn't find the assistance he had anticipated from within the town. So he did not, our commentator says, it failed for a lack of expected action from within that was to have cooperated with the assault from without. Inner treachery or weakness is more to be feared than the most formidable foe from without. It's the weakness within ourselves that's the biggest danger to us. When we're strong within ourselves, the forces without can only have minimal effect. But when we don't have the strength internally because of the presence of Emmanuel and obedience to his law, then we're weak. Inner treachery or weakness is more to be feared than the most formidable foe from without. Thus it was at the first, as stated at the outset of the allegory. You remember in the original, in the beginning of the allegory, he said that the walls could never be broken down nor hurt by the most mighty adverse potentate unless the townsmen gave consent thereto. People say the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Well, the devil wouldn't have any power except as you, from within, give consent. And on this occasion, that consent was not given. but withheld. No gate opened to the foe. No voice from within, counsel, or surrender. No key was turned by a treacherous hand. No inner influence was found to second the outer violence. The soul stood, stern as a rock, steadfast, immovable. And the terrible doubts were accompanied by terrible fears. All that could affright or terrify was pressed into the service of Diabolus. To the rising mounts of defiance and their terrible names, the terrible standard with its flaming flame and the burning effigy, the beating of the terrible drum of the doubters and the nightly call to the soul for parley, oh, how the soul of the doubting and despairing man fears the nightfall and the darkness and all the accompanying terrors intensified manifold in the night season. I said, it's always at night. It's always at night, isn't it? But man's soul resisted, fighting the good fight by day and betaking itself to the captains by night. In the time of peril and in the hour of danger, our safety is in the company of the gifts and graces of the Spirit. Under the shield of faith, under the helmet of hope, under the comforts of love, and in the sanctifying presence of patience and innocence. These abide in the stronghold of the man, the castle, the heart. There, enshrined amid the holy things, surrounded by their great protection, the soul is in the chamber of peace, though the terrible army does still beleaguer it. Remember, I preached this morning about that peace that we have in the midst of the storm. There's peace for the believer. There, enshrined amid the holy things, surrounded by their great protection, the soul is in the chamber of peace, though the terrible army does still beleaguer it. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, Psalm says, the book of Psalms. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. There's peace within the soul of man, even in the midst of such attacks. Bunyan says, when this drummer had beaten for a parley, he made his speech to man's soul. This speech says, we read that he will continue. If they will not come willingly, then he will take them by force. Then Bunyan picks up and says, the next night he sends again. And then, who should be his messenger to man's soul but the terrible Captain Sepulchre? Now everybody knows what a sepulchre is, right? It's a grave. So, on this second night, he sends another agent. He sends Captain Sepulchre. This, of course, is made to represent in Bunyan's writing, in Bunyan's allegory, it's made to represent the fear of the grave. So Captain Sepulchre came up to the walls of man's soul and made this oration to the town. O ye inhabitants of the rebellious town of Mansoul, I summon you in the name of the Prince Diabolus, that without any more ado, you set open the gates of your town and admit the great Lord to come in. But if you shall still rebel, when we have taken to us the town by force, we will swallow you up as the grave. Wherefore, if you will hearken to my summons, say so, and if not, then let me know. The reason of this my summons, quoth he, is that my lord is your undoubted prince and lord, as you yourselves have formerly owned. Nor shall that assault that was given to my lord when Emmanuel dealt so dishonorably by him, prevail with him to lose his right and to forbear to attempt to recover his own. Consider then, O man's soul, with thyself. Wilt thou show thyself peaceable or no? If thou shalt quietly yield up thyself, then our old friendship shall be renewed. But if thou shalt yet refuse and rebel, then expect nothing but fire and the sword. There is, of course, on the page opposite, that incredible graphic woodcut of Captain Sepulchre speaking to the town. I looked at that picture a lot and thought a lot about it. This fellow, this artist who drew this was very skilled, to say the least. But also, I wondered what it would be like. I have no artistic ability, and when I look at things like this, I'm almost grateful I don't. I can't imagine having a mind that could conceive such a picture. That would be a mixed blessing and curse to have a brain that could conceive a scene like that. But of course, that's the scene which Bunyan is describing. Captain Sepulchre. Read with me our commentator's note on him on the previous page. This is the last attempt, Diabolus, to alarm the soul. Doubts are formidable enough in themselves. The rolling rappel of the drum of the doubters is a yet greater aggravation of one's fears. But death and the grave are the most terrible of all, even the king of terrors. The doubting soul that has lost its trust and confidence in Christ and relaxed its hold of the promises of God and forfeited the evidence of the witnessing spirit, how that soul trembles at the thought of death and is appalled at the terrors of the grave. It sees naught before it but corruption of the body, condemnation of the soul, and loss of all things, both here and hereafter. And therefore, craftily superadded to other fears is the dread of the grave, the cold sepulcher, the horrors of the comfortless tomb. And on the score of this universal penalty to sin, Satan claims man's soul as his own peculiar property. And if their disobedience to his call should still continue, he threatens that he will swallow them up in the grave. Meanwhile, the eye of the soul's enlightenment is dim, its power of faith is weak, and its once hopes and joy are terror-stricken. Else would the soul be able to realize a better hope and give back this jubilant answer of faith to the taunting message of Captain Sepulchre. We read it this morning, didn't we? O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Yes, when the doubts of the man of God cease and his hopes and joys and evidence return, his faith rises superior to the fears of death, and through the grave and gate of death he sees the blessed hope of the resurrection day. Death of death and hell's destruction. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I read you that this morning. And again, the mortality might be swallowed up. Captain Sepulchre may vault himself now and at the bidding of his master demand the surrender of the soul to Satan. But the end cometh, as seen in the vision of the seer on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. A little challenge for you children. Look at that graphic on that page and count and tell me how many skulls you count in that picture. A little exercise for you. How many total skulls are in that picture? Well, Bunyan's point here is very simple. It's the fear of death, is it not? The fear of death. By the way, as you well know, not even the saint is altogether immune to that fear. Death, do you understand that death is in the original order of things, in God's perfect creation, death is a foreign element. There was no death. There would never have been any death had Adam obeyed God and not plunged the human race into sin and depravity. Death is a foreign element, and it is a fearful element. Even for the believer, it's a frightful thing, death. So when the soul is weak, as we know at this particular place, as we've studied all the way over here in Bunyan's Holy War, the soul, man's soul at this moment is weak. It's weak because it has sinned and grieved Emmanuel. And Emmanuel has left the city. And now they're left to themselves. And now here comes Satan to swallow them up. And they're very, very afraid. And one of the biggest elements of that fear is the fear of dying. Dying. Bunyan says, when the languishing town of man's soul had heard this summoner and his summons, they were yet more put to their dumps. I like that expression. That's a dear old English expression that Bunyan used from his day. We talk about being down in the dumps, right? But there's a wonderful expression, put to their dumps. When the languishing town of Mansoul had heard this summoner and his summons, they were yet more put to their dumps, but made to the captain no answer at all. So away he went as he came. Mason said, Satan and the corrupt nature will to the last breath war against the soul. Be it our determination through grace not to lay down our spiritual arms, but with our lives. Satan will never tire of trying to frighten us using this very method. Notice the note below. Not yet is the day of deliverance. The town of man's soul is not yet delivered. They're under this siege. Not yet is the day of deliverance. The terrors and alarms continue, and though the soul fights manfully, yet doth it languish in the heat of the fray and in the dust of the battlefield. And in the daily and nightly horrors of terrible siege, environed by the army of doubt and by the legions of despair. Nor is there any relief but in the holy confidence that the soul is enabled to repose on the promises of God and on the aid of the all-powerful Emmanuel. The poet said, in times like these, we should be driven to despair, and in the desponding mood give up all hope and prayer. Did God before our eyes not set forth His dear Son, His death and sacrifice, and all that He has done? Their only hope is to see Christ, to see Christ again. There is a note Bunyan wrote in another place, in a different place. Bunyan wrote on this subject. He said, sin is in the best of men. And as long as it is so, without great watchfulness and humble walking with God, we may be exposed to shame and suffering for it. It is possible for Christians to suffer for evil doing, and therefore let Christians beware. It is possible for Christians to be brought to public justice for their faith, and therefore let Christians beware. We all have remaining in us the vestiges of that fallen nature, and because of it, we sometimes find ourselves assaulted by the devil, and he will not hesitate to use the fear of death against us. That's as far as we'll go today. Is there any comments or questions on this particular rather short reading? Any of you children work out how many skulls are on that page? We quickly find ourselves in a frightening place. A frightening place. And Satan will not hesitate to find us there. And roar and beat his drums and threaten all the violence against us. And all we have to sustain us in hours like that is the promises of God. And hide away with the captains. Any other comment, question, or thought on this text?